But that's not going on here, but we are glad you're here, glad you braved the weather. Just a couple of announcements. First, we welcome Lois Wolf to our organ bench today. Jim and Janet are in Oklahoma for Janet's daughter's wedding yesterday. And she's hitched, according to Facebook. Everything went well. So don't forget that the deadline for poinsettias is tomorrow at noon. Tomorrow at noon is that deadline. That's right. And the forms are in the narthex near the TV monitor is where they are. And so if you need one of those, they're right out there. Tomorrow at noon. Let me remind you that our congregational meeting is today, immediately following our worship service, and then we have food after that. What will happen, I'll invite you as soon as the Go in Peace, Serve the Lord is over, if you'll have a seat and give us just a minute or two for the choir to get disrobed, and me too. It does sound weird, doesn't it? So anyway, we'll be in here in just moments. It won't take long for all that to happen, and we'll get the thing started right away. And having said that, Sarah.
Good morning.
We have a very many turkey in our
bus. Thank you.
It's disrobed. So I need you to research what language Capiche is. Italian? Now, I had work for her to do, and y'all just ruined it. So I appreciate you doing your announcement in Italian.
No problem.
Thank you. Let us prepare for our worship.
Thank you.
Please rise. In the name of God, the Father of glory, in the name of God, the Son, our Redeemer, in the name of God, the Holy and life-giving Spirit. Amen. The Son of righteousness shall rise with shining beams of healing. Let us gather under the wings of God's mercy, confessing our sin. Gracious God, we acknowledge that we are sinners,
and we confess our sins,
those known to us
that burden our hearts,
and those unknown to us but seen by you. We know that before you nothing remains hidden, and in you everything is revealed.
Free us from the slavery of sin.
Liberate us from the bondage of guilt. And work in us that which is pleasing in your sight, for the sake of Jesus Christ, Lord. With a heart full of mercy and compassion, God saves us and forgives us all our sins. Christ, the dawn from on high, shines upon us, and by the light of the Holy Spirit guides our feet into the way of peace. Amen.
Thank you. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Protector of all who trust in you. Without you, nothing is strong, nothing is holy. Embrace us with your mercy, that with you as our ruler and guide, we may live through what is temporary without losing what is eternal. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Look at your palm, and they'll tell you your future.
A reading from Malachi. See, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that comes shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Seen the salvation of our God.
Sing our song to the Lord, for he has worked wonders, his right hand and his holy arm. Across salvation,
all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation. Salvation of our God.
A reading from 2 Thessalonians. Now we command you, beloved, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to keep away from believers who are living in idleness and not according to the tradition that they received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us. We were not idle when we were with you, and we did not eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor, we worked night and day, so that we might not burden any of you. This was not because we do not have that right, but in order to give you an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this command: anyone unwilling to work should not eat. For we hear that some of you are living in idleness, mere busybodies, not doing any work. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. Brothers and sisters, do not be weary in doing what is right. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be, and what will be the sign that it is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' the time is near. Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
It's not a scripture passage we really want to hear. In fact, even if you read it carefully, you might think that Jesus was trying to give followers away and to drive them away instead of reach out to them. Buildings knocked down, false messiahs everywhere, insurrections and wars, nation against nation, earthquakes, famines, and plagues. Jesus predicts all of them at the end of the age. And it gets worse. Christians will be arrested for being Christian, put on trial and called on to defend the faith before rulers and kings, betrayed by parents, brothers, and friends, and even put to death and hated by just about everyone. It's not a passage we want to hear. Why would anyone want to be a Christian if this is what awaits them? It would be better to head for the hills, or at the very least to bury our heads in the sand like an ostrich and just hope not to see it coming. Why would Jesus talk this way? And what is he talking about? Well, let's take a closer look. Jesus and his disciples had been walking around in the temple. Now, this was a spectacular temple. If you go back through the Bible, at first God's presence was marked by the Ark of the Covenant, and it traveled around wherever the people went in a tent. But when they finally settled in the Promised Land, Solomon built a temple for the Ark of the Covenant to reside in, and that became the place of God. Eventually, though, the Babylonian Empire came, conquered them, and carried them off into exile and destroyed that temple. When they came back, they built a small little temple that served for a while. But then Herod became king, and he built another lavish, highly decorated temple. It was so large, in fact, that the courtyard outside of it could hold 400,000 people, and at festivals it sometimes did. So when our gospel picks up, Jesus and his disciples have been walking around in that beautiful temple, looking at all the lavishness and commenting on it. And that's when Jesus decided to make a pretty clear point. All this could be torn down, he said. In fact, he went on, all of this will be torn down. Not even one stone will be left upon another. And as the disciples stared at him in shock, he went on, in fact, your world could crumble in any number of ways. Wars, arrests, death, betrayal. And as they continued to stare at him, he made the point, but for God's people, none of that really matters. No matter what happens, you belong to God. And as he says it, not a hair of your head shall be harmed. God reigns supreme. Oh, what an assurance that is for us. Because even when the world doesn't measure up to what it should be, Even when our lives are torn apart by family problems and conflicts, even when we carry the heavy weight of financial burdens and difficulties, even when we struggle with the daily stresses of life, we need that assurance that we belong to God and that God reigns over all. And in the face of illnesses with names that frighten us, or the death of someone near or dear, when our lives are trapped in a well of divorce or loneliness and we see no way out, when our world is touched by events like school shootings and violence and crime, we need that assurance that we belong to God and that God reigns over all. And when those close to us respond in harsh words and we go day after day with hurt feelings and heartache, when our lives are full of conflict and anger and bitterness toward others around us, when all we feel is lost and hopeless with no idea where to turn or what to do, and it doesn't appear that it will ever get any better, and even when our world falls apart, when day after day is met with failed expectations and there's chaos all around, we need that assurance that we belong to God and that God reigns over all. In the midst of a world that seems to be falling apart, Jesus gives us grace and blessing. And no matter how hard or difficult it gets, no matter how many even wins there are, we belong to God. God is our shepherd. And we belong to Him forever. A prominent minister used to tell this story. When my son was small, he said, we often walked together out through the fields and neighboring pastures behind the parsonage. At first, the little fellow would hold onto my little finger, but he found that when he stepped in a hoof print or stumbled over something, his grip would fail and down he'd go in the dust and the snow. Not giving it much thought, my mind on other matters, I'd stop and he'd get up, brush himself off, and grab my little finger again, gripping it harder this time. Needless to say, this occurred frequently, until one day as he was brushing himself off, he looked at me and said, "Daddy?" And I replied, "Yes, son, what is it?" And he said, "I think that if you would hold my hand, I wouldn't fall." Then the minister would add, "You know, he stumbled many times after that, but he never hit the ground." As you walk with God, don't try to hold on to him. Let him hold on to you. You may stumble, but he'll never let you fall. Oh, people of God, even when all the world around you is crumbling, God holds on to you. You are His, and He will never let you go. Amen. Gathered as God's people, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Faithful God, you promised to dwell among us. Strengthen us now through your word and sacrament and our fellowship together, that we may stand for hope amidst life's trials and victories. May we shine with your light for all the world to see. Lord, in your mercy, creating God, we are thankful for all the blessings that you give in your love. You fill our lives to overflowing with your goodness and grace. May we use the blessings that you shower on us so that we are a blessing to others in your name. Lord, in your mercy. Healing God, you enfold your children in tender care. Comfort the troubled, sustain the weary, and heal the sick, that all may know your presence. Bless all your people, O God, and especially those whom we remember before you. Lord, in your mercy, steadfast God, continue to lead this congregation. Bless us in your work and give us a new vision of your kingdom. Fill us with your Spirit so that we do not grow weary in serving our neighbors. Open our eyes to need and open our hands to help. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Peace of Christ be with you always.
And also
with you. Let us share God's peace.
Thank you. us pray. Merciful God,
as grains of wheat scattered upon the hills were gathered together to become one bread, so let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory through Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection open to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Our bread of life, our table and our food. You created a world in which all might be satisfied by your abundance. You dined with Abraham and Sarah, promising them life, and fed your people Israel with manna from heaven. You sent your Son to eat with sinners and to become food for the world. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his life given for us and his rising from the grave, we await his coming again to share with us the everlasting feast. By your Spirit, nurture and sustain us with this meal. Strengthen us to serve all in hunger and want. And by this bread and cup, make of us the body of your Son. Through him all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, shepherding God, that you have gathered your scattered flock again this day, feeding us richly with the food of paradise. Accompany us as we serve you all the days of our lives, and gather us with the saints in the day of our death. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Oh,
Thank you. ready to get started. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You have richly blessed us with talents and treasures, all that we need to sustain ourselves and to do the work you would have us do. Be with us today as we make decisions concerning our Redeemer congregation. May the decisions we make today be pleasing to you. All this we ask in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, I don't like to sound so formal, but I'd like to call this congregational meeting of Redeemer Lutheran Church to order. First, I'd like to go over the agenda that we have for today. We have three items of business to take care of. We need to approve a nominating committee for next year. These are the people who will be selecting nominees for church council next year. The people who have agreed to serve on this committee are Charlotte Brooks, Lane Cross, Jane Eliezer, Margaret Larson, Karen Manny, and Marty Neumeyer. And I'm ashamed to say, but I don't know who served on this year's committee other than Steve Summer. So if you served on this year's nominating committee, I want to congratulate you for coming up with such an outstanding slate of candidates. If you served on this year's nominating committee, would you please stand and be recognized? Thank you. Thank you for doing such a terrific job. Our next order of business, like I said, we're just going over the agenda now, but the next order of business will be the election of new council members. The ones who have been nominated so far, and we're going to ask for more if you have them, Dan Courtney, Diane Hunt, Michelle Knight, Tom Loss, Dan Lowe, and Lynn Richards. And we will also be taking nominations from the floor today. And then the last thing we need to do is approve a spending plan for next year, 2017. So, Pastor?
You inadvertently said Dan Courtney is Don Courtney.
I'm sorry, I wrote it down that way. I'm sorry. Don Courtney. My bad. It's my eyesight. So, with that said, let's start our meeting, and I would like to ask that if you have something to say, please raise your hand and wait to be recognized, and then once you're recognized, please stand, and Sarah will bring you a microphone. Please wait till then, because we want to hear what everybody has to say, and our parliamentarian is Mike Sheely. I see he did not bring a stick to hit me over the head with, in case I make a mistake. Hopefully it will go smoothly. So anyway, on our ballots today, we already have a place where you can approve of or not approve of the nominating committee for next year. So you'll get a chance to vote on that when the ballots are passed out. Right now, I'd like to ask if you have any one you would like to nominate for church council, to run for church council. This is your last chance. We have a slate of six candidates now to fill three positions. If there's someone you would like to nominate.
Not a nomination, but did we mention the youth nominees?
I will in just a minute. I've got them here. And we're also going to approve youth nominees for church council. But right now, do any of you want to care to nominate someone for a three-year term for church council? Hearing none, I would like to ask our ushers to pass out the ballots. I did write down the youth. Andy Lowe and Kate Bernthal are our youth who have been nominated to run for a one-year term on church council.
They're not running against each other.
No, they're not running against each other. You may vote for up to three people for the three-year terms and up to two for the youth. Members of church council, please don't vote for more than three regular members of church council. I don't think your ballot will count if you do, so don't vote for more than three. But two youth. You may vote for two youth. And also on your ballot, you'll see where you can approve of or don't approve of the nominating committee for next year. I would also like to say that our tellers for today, well, we have six tellers today: Tim Campbell, Bob Long, Denise Mulkey, Paul Austin, and Stan Morgan. And Dwayne Shumpert. And I would also like to mention that Marty Neumeyer, our council secretary, is not here, and Kathy Harrell has agreed to take the minutes for our meeting today. So thank you, Kathy. Paul just pointed out that we do have copies of the budget. If you don't have one, they were in the crossroads. They've been in the narthex. But if you don't have one, Paul and Dwayne have copies for you if you'd like to. After you mark your ballot, if you would pass it to the end of the pew so the ushers can pick it up, we'll start the counting, or the tellers will. Do who? I'm afraid our Constitution does not allow for absentee ballots. I'm afraid so. If they would like to come in here. That question's been asked before. Are there any other ballots out? Okay, I guess that's all of them. Okay, next on our agenda is to approve a spending plan for next year. I hope you've all had an opportunity to look over this. I will try to point out some of the highlights. The first thing on your line under benevolence, you will see that there is an increase there. The Synod has asked that congregations either give or work toward giving 10% of our offering to benevolence. Last year we gave 9% in a show of good faith. The church council approved 9.5% for the coming year, so you'll see an increase there. You'll see a small increase under social ministry, the next line down. That is expenses due to Family Promise. That was included in there this year. Worship and music, I think there's been an increase in the cost of our altar supplies and perhaps music for our music program. Coming on down under Fresh Expressions Director, those of you who come to Fresh Expressions, you probably noticed that Daniel Locke is now with us. It was something he was happy to do, but to show our appreciation, we have offered him a small amount of money to help with that. And our preschool, you'll notice, has got a little increase, and that is due to they're not getting grants like they used to. I think Thrivent has been a big one that they lost. You will also notice that we have a deficit budget proposed for next year. The church council felt good about this because of your generous giving. Our offerings this year have come in higher than was expected. And also, I might mention that our budgeted spending has come under what we planned for this year. So for this year, we do have a surplus. The church council felt good, and the finance committee, I believe, felt good about offering a deficit budget for next year. You'll also notice that there is a modest increase in staff salaries. And those were the things I wanted to highlight. I think those were some of the biggest things that had changed. Can I get a motion from someone that we approve this budget? And once we do, we can talk about it. Steve Summers has moved that we approve this budget. And we have a second from Shannon Smith. And I heard someone else, but one will do. So we have a motion and a second. Would any of you like to comment or ask questions about this proposed budget? And I see our kitchen committee has come now. Any questions or comments about the proposed budget for next year? Hearing none, let's put this to a vote. This will require a majority vote. I think we can do this probably with a voice vote. All in favor of approving this budget, the spending plan for next year, please say aye. All opposed, please say no. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. While the tellers are counting ballots, I would like to call on Sarah about a program we have been embarking on for the last few weeks.
Good still morning. I would love to start off with prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. And where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born again to eternal life. Amen. Redeemer is a congregation known for its reaching out, welcoming spirit, and servant's heart. 2 years ago, it might seem like a lot longer, this December, Redeemer hosted Family Promise for the first time, opening its doors to families who are suffering from homelessness. Since then, we have hosted many more times, and we have shown every family that entered the doors of this congregation hospitality with excellence. We have served with Resurrections, a feeding ministry in downtown Columbia, countless times. And the guests, every time, remark to Larry, the guy in charge, how kind our group is. We truly serve with a joyful heart. When there are needs in our community, this congregation steps up to help serve our neighbor as Christ has called us to do. This, along with many other reasons, is why Redeemer has put a team together to explore the realities of our congregation co-sponsoring a refugee family, to walk alongside and accompany Lutheran Services of the Carolinas as they welcome refugees refugee families from across the world. First, I'd like to introduce you to this team that has been put together. Along with Pastor Gary and myself, this group has gotten together to plan future events for this congregation to learn and explore the realities of this ministry. When I call your name, if you will please stand and remain standing so everyone can see the whole team. Dan and Fawny Lowe, Martha Summer, Kathy Chartier, Preston Smith, Katrina Jorgensen, and Janet Boatwright. Katrina and Janet are not with us this morning. But yeah, thank you, team, for your great work so far and what you will be doing in the future. You may now be seated. We would like to show you just a short clip from a 60 Minutes episode that aired on October 14th called Taking Refuge. This 4-minute clip profiles a church in Georgia that has taken refugee resettlement head on, mentions Lutheran Services by name as one of the helping organizations, and shares part of the story of a refugee family. This clip does highlight the Syrian refugee crisis, which is getting a lot of attention, as you all know. Lutheran Services of the Carolinas has resettled Syrian refugees here in Columbia, and we could possibly be paired with one. But also remember, the refugee crisis is worldwide, and not all refugees are from Syria.
Opening our doors to refugees like Ekbal is a proud part of America's heritage. But last year, when Paris was attacked by ISIS fighters, killing 130 civilians, many Americans wanted to slam the doors shut. A Syrian passport was found on one of the suicide bombers who had entered Europe with the flood of Syrian refugees. That prompted 31 U.S. governors to call for a complete halt to the Syrian refugee program. Georgia's Republican governor, Nathan Deal, went further and signed an executive order denying state services to Syrian refugees. It turned out that bomber wasn't Syrian after all. He was part of a sophisticated ISIS plot to get radicals into Europe, but it cast a shadow of suspicion over all Syrian refugees. Mohammed, his wife Ibtissam, and son Hassan were among the first Syrian refugees to arrive in the U.S. They settled in Georgia just weeks after the attacks in Paris. At first I was worried, he said, but I told myself there's no way I would be mistreated in this country, because this is a country of laws. Mohammed and his family were sponsored by the Johnson Ferry Baptist Church in deep Republican Marietta, Georgia, just outside Atlanta.
In Romans chapter 13, it's very clear that
with Governor Deal banning services, the church stepped in to support the family. Senior pastor Bryant Wright, a former president of the Southern Baptist Convention,
the concern is obviously over illegal immigrants,
found himself in a political firestorm at odds with the governor, a man he voted for.
Well, see, our calling, Bill, is far higher to follow Christ and do what Christ teaches us to do than whether there's an R or D behind your name. And that's what we've got to live by far more than what people are hearing on talk radio or on the news or from political candidates.
Wright wrote a letter to Governor Deal asking him to reconsider his position.
Did he respond? No, he didn't respond.
Governor Deal didn't respond to 60 Minutes either. Last December, he was forced to withdraw his ban when Georgia's Attorney General found it to be illegal. Since then, this Christian church, working with U.S. refugee resettlement agencies, World Relief, and Lutheran Services, has gone on to sponsor 7 more Muslim families from Syria. In July, Mohammed, Ibtissam, and Hassan welcomed their cousin, Norris, and his family of 6.
Welcome to your home.
Here in the Atlanta area, volunteers and caseworkers help newcomers from the beginning, getting them settled into new homes and teaching them to use an ATM. The refugees are given English tutoring and help finding jobs. This past summer, Mohammed was able to pay his bills on his own for the first time. He's working at a catering company owned by a church member. Hassan has started kindergarten, and slowly, they say, they're starting to feel at home here.
I'm leaving this country, my country.
My country.
It is important to remember that the dream of every refugee is to return home. But when the reality of returning home is not safe for themselves and their families, relocation is the next step. Redeemer would be partners in welcome with Lutheran Services of the Carolinas to make the transition of a refugee family as smooth and successful as we can. Refugee resettlement is a huge topic that is getting a lot of attention. Throughout the months to come, our team has put together a number of different opportunities for us as a congregation to come together to learn more about the refugee crisis in our world. The realities of the vetting system, the expectations of a congregation that commit to co-sponsoring a family, and most importantly, a look at Scripture and our call as Christians to love our neighbor, to serve them, and as Paul writes in the first letter to the Philippians, to regard others as better than ourselves, to look not to our own interest, but to the interests of others. We urge you, the team urges you, to please come to these events. Learn more. Hear the story of a refugee who's been through the process. Ask questions. Engage in conversation. This is a ministry opportunity with possibilities for this entire congregation, and we want everyone to be as informed as possible. We know that many of you have questions already, so once I finish, we will pass note cards out to everyone, whether you have a question or not, and give you the opportunity to write down any questions or comments on that card. Our team in the months to come will address these questions in a newsletter article. There's a box, a basket, on your way back to the fellowship hall in the smaller fellowship area to put your cards. You don't feel the need to put your name on the questions if that would make you more comfortable. As we are close to the time of Advent, I ask you to remember another family that was seeking refuge. A family that didn't have a place to stay. Our team is putting together an Advent devotion for you and your family to do. This is a great way to begin the conversation and education process centered around Scripture, and we encourage you to take advantage of this. During every meeting that our team comes together, we start with Scripture to ground ourselves in our calling as Christians, and we also sing a verse from the hymn, All Are Welcome. So to close today, I would like to do it in the same manner. So if you will open up your hymnals to hymn 641, a reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 10. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, What is written in the law? What do you read there? The lawyer answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, the lawyer asked Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the same place, saw him and passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you have spent. Which of these, Jesus asked the lawyer, do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell at the hands of the robbers? The lawyer said, The one who showed him mercy. Jesus said, Go and do likewise. We will sing verse 4 from All Are Welcome.
Let us build a house where hands will reach beyond the wood and stone to heal, strengthen, serve, and teach, and live the word they know. Hear the outcast and the stranger, bear the
Thank you, Sarah. I understand that the ballots have all been counted and there will be no runoff. Who has the results? I don't know. This is in no particular order. Lynn Richards, Dan Lowe, and Tom Loss. Also, our youth nominees, our new youth council members will be Kate Bernthal and Andy Lowe, and our nominating committee for next year has been approved. So, thank you. Thank you all very much. Can I get a motion to adjourn our meeting? Shannon Smith has moved to adjourn our meeting. A second. Do we need a vote on that? Huh? A voice vote to adjourn our meeting. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, please say no. Thank you.
Before you get up, I'm going to pray for the meal. The Lord be with you. Thank you. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have blessed us with an amazing family of faith. Thank you especially for all those who are present, but especially that you are present among us. Bless this food now and all those who have prepared it, that we may be strengthened to serve you, to reach beyond these walls of wood and stone, to carry your mission and message into our world. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
to one.